Chapter 35. I looked at Lucio's still unconscious form. The stress of coordinating the search for Morgan for who knows how long before he showed up, coupled with the pains of her injuries and the sedative effect of the painkillers I'd given her, meant that she'd never stirred. Not when the gun went off, not when we'd been talking, and not when we'd all had to work together to get Morgan back up the stairs and out to the silver rolls. I made sure she was covered with a blanket. The moment I did, Mister descended from his perch atop one of my bookcases and draped himself languidly over her lower legs, purring. I scratched my cat's ears and said, "Keep her company." He gave me an inscrutable look that said maybe he would and maybe he wouldn't. Mister was a cat, and cats generally considered it the obligation of the universe to provide shelter, sustenance, and amusement as required. I think Mister considered it beneath his dignity to plan for the future. I got a pen and paper and wrote, "Anastasia, I'm running out of time, and visitors are on the way. I'm going someplace where I might be able to create new options. You will understand shortly. I'm sorry I didn't bring you too. In your condition, you'd be of limited assistance. I know you don't like it, but you also know that I'm right. Help yourself to whatever you need. I hope that we'll talk soon. Harry." I folded the note and left it on the coffee table, where she'd see it upon waking. Then I bent over, kissed her hair, and left her sleeping safe in my home. I parked the Rolls in the lot next to the marina. If we hurried, we could still get there before the witching hour, which would be the best time to try the invocation. Granted, trying it while injured and weary with absolutely no pre-ritual work was probably going to detract more than enough from the ritual to offset the premium timing, but I was beggared for time and therefore not spoiling for choice. "Allow me to reiterate," Murphy said, "that I feel that this is a bad idea." "So noted," I said, "but will you do it?" She stared out the Rolls' windshield at the vast expanse of Lake Michigan, a simple and enormous blackness against the lights of Chicago. "Yes," she said. "If there was anything else you could do," I said, "I'd ask you to do it, I swear." "I know," she said. "It just pisses me off that there's nothing more I can add." "Well, if it makes you feel any better, you're going to be in danger, too. Someone might decide to come by and try to use you against me. And if word gets back to the council about how much you know, they're going to blow a gasket." She smiled a bit. "Yes, thank you. I feel less left out now that I know someone might kill me anyway." She shifted, settling her gun's shoulder harness a little more comfortably. "I am aware of my limits. That isn't the same as liking them." She looked back at me. "How are you going to reach the others?" "I'd really rather not say. The less you know, the safer I am." "No, actually," I said. "The less you know, the safer I am. Don't forget that we might be dealing with people who can take information out of your head, whether you want to give it or not." Murphy folded her arms and shivered. "I hate feeling helpless." "Yeah," I said, "me too. How's he doing, Molly?" "Still asleep," Molly reported from the back of the limo. "I don't think his fever is any higher, though." She reached out and touched Morgan's forehead with the back of one hand.